The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
No idea, do you? You're not even going to try to guess.
All right, time for the anthems with Rennie Rancor. And then the fourth and final game between these two teams this year.
Thank God, it's the last time I see him.
I'm with you.
Michael Farber on Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Morella's Restaurant, with an open kitchen concept, charcoal fire pit, and a wood-burning pizza oven from Napoli. Route 132 next to Poker Palace.
Not quite James Brown for Sergio and Dan, Rennie Rancor. How you doing, Michael?
You know, I'm good, and Rennie Rancor lost his voice about 10 years ago.
I know.
And he soldiered on, and he replaced his voice with his gestures. And... you know, lovely guy, and at a time, a very good anthem singer, but he stayed too long at the fair.
Yeah, and he kind of warbles, right? That's it. The voice became a warble after a while.
You know, one of my favorite underrated anthems was in Hartford, where they had a singer, and it was almost like a lounge singer doing the national anthem, and I swear they should have had a piano there with a cognac glass, and the players could have put dollar bills in as they skated by. It was really just like going back to a piano bar. It's
like Bill Murray. Murray lounge singer in Saturday Night Live? Yeah. Did you happen to see Charles Barkley on that? Wait a minute. I'm going to take a guess. The last time Michael Farber watched Saturday Night Live, Chevy Chase was still doing the weekend update.
That's not true. It's on a tad late. And it's tough to get clips. Those NBC clips don't show up. So, you know, once in a while something will on YouTube. No, I've watched it. And, I stayed for the monologue that, you know, Charles dribbled all over the place. And then I clicked it off.
All right. We're gonna revisit that a little later in the show. But I do want to start here.
We have to put everything into perspective. Of his four starts or five he had before coming to Montreal where he wasn't stopping a beach ball, he had three against Tampa that was really going. That's early in the season when he was playing with the Panthers and the Penguins. So, you know, I'm not saying it's not his fault, but, you know, there's perspective that needs to be brought to that situation.
Mark Denis every morning with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and this morning with Sean Coleman in for Rick Moffitt on Antti Niemi, whose NHL career did look done very early in the season.
Well, I'll give you a little more context. Last year in Dallas, and he and Lehtinen, you know, were awful. And that's why he's out of there and Ben Bishop's in Dallas. He was a sub-900 goals against guy. It was 892 or somewhere in that neighborhood. And he was horrible. And you can understand why Jim Rutherford said, well, veteran goalie backup Matt Murray, he was bad there. I talked to Dale Tallon right around the time they picked him up. I said, he looks like he's done. He said, well, I had some magic with him in Chicago. Of course, Tallon was gone by the time the 2010 Hawks won the Cup with Niemi in goal, replacing Cristobal Oue, by the way. And he was bad there. And Mark Bergevin, part of that Chicago brain trust, at one point said, well, let's see what we can do. And I give credit not only to Niemi, I mean, you got to start with the player himself, but Stefan Waite. Much more confident Niemi, you see. He's still not a real big guy. He's about 6'2.5", maybe, and he seems to play low in the way that Jonathan Quick plays low. He doesn't play big. Carey Price plays rangy. Niemi doesn't play that way, but he's been real good. And the fact that his confidence seems up and that technically he looks much sounder than he did, that's Stefan Waite. And he should be applauded, and the organization should be applauded, because this is the rich Montreal Canadiens. They deserve the best of everything. And really, Mitch, how many people in that organization are industry standards? Stefan Waite is one of them. The goalie coach... are there better goalie coaches? Maybe. Not many of them. If you were going to take the top 5 or top 10 goalie coaches in the league, Stefan Waite would be among them. My larger point is, why isn't everybody held to that standard? Why don't the Montreal Canadiens have everybody in the upper echelon of their particular fields?
Well, that's a very good question. One of the open-ended questions, I don't know if it's rhetorical or not, that I asked last week is, the people who are running the Montreal Canadiens, the management group that are running the Montreal Canadiens, or in the coaching staff that is involved with the Montreal Canadiens, you just mentioned Stefan Waite. Could Stefan Waite get another job in the National Hockey League? It would take him 2 minutes.
Yep.
Could Marc Bergevin get another job as a general manager in the National Hockey League right now? Could Rick Dudley, could Scott Mellenby, could Rod Ramage, could Martin Lapointe, all of the people in the front office? I don't think that's an unfair question to ask.
No, I think that's the right question to ask. And if the answer is no, and I don't believe that to be the case in all of them, the answer goes, we go back to Jeff Molson. We say, okay, these are not people who are considered leaders in the business. Why not? Montreal, there is, can pay whatever. There's no salary cap for talent in off the ice. Montreal makes money. There was money not spent this year, $8.5 million, and I haven't checked recently, but that was probably what you were going to make in three home games in the playoffs. So you save money there. And then you end up costing yourself money later. So, are there scouts, the best scouts in the industry? They're pro scouts? Are there amateur scouts? When this season is dead and buried, I think it behooves Jeff Molson to run through this organization with a fine-tooth comb and say, okay, are these the best people we can have? Only the best. All the best. Isn't that what Donald Trump says? All the best people. And indeed, that's what the Canadians should have. This city deserves it. This franchise deserves it. And it's up to Jeff Molson to provide it.
I think that's in addition to the actual moves that didn't work and badly blew up on them, you know, Radulov and then bringing in Hemsky, losing Markov and bringing in Streit, losing Yemelin and bringing in Alzner and locking him up. It's that cap space. And I know that some of that they thought would they'd be able to use on Radulov, for example, or one of Radulov and Markov, but I think it's embarrassing to have an organization that can spend to the cap like the Canadiens that has the market that they have and the interest and the passion that they have to be that empty.
My surprise on deadline day was some of that cap space wasn't used to swallow someone else's bad contract to add some assets to the organization. It went unused at the start of the year. It was clear fairly early on that it would be throwing good money after bad to use it any other way than to take some contracts you might not like in order to add some important pieces or at least prospects or draft choices or what have you. And that didn't get done either. So I was a little bit puzzled by that.
I'm looking at the top 30 point getters in the NHL right now. And I'm speaking slowly because I'm trying to add up the number of centermen. I think I've hit 16 out of 30 are centermen.
Right.
That's all you need to know about why this team is where it is.
And if you look at those 30, and I did a day or two ago, 8 of them had played for other teams. And a couple like William Karlsson, of course, was a Vegas guy, and there are some others there who, for whatever reason, moved on. But, you know, Blake Wheeler, who's just lighting it up for Winnipeg, was traded, and Kessel, and there are 8 on that top 30 list. So when you hear, oh, we can't make trades for those people. Now, they're not all centermen. Taylor Hall's a winger, for example. But guys have been traded who have been impact players. So when we hear, oh, it's tough to make a trade, yeah, it is. But that means it hasn't been, other GMs haven't been successful doing it. And so let's just keep that in mind when some GM in Montreal feels sorry for himself.
Do you think we have seen the last of Max Pacioretty as a Hab?
I do. I think there will be somebody else at that golf tournament wearing those nice white with the CH logos on them. Yeah, I think Pacioretty's gone here. Unfortunately, if that's going to be the case, I don't see why a team wouldn't have wanted him for this year and indeed an entire next year at a very reasonable cap number. I think the marriage is over, and at some point it'll be best for everybody to move on. That's too bad because I like Max Pacioretty as a player. He's a goal scorer. Goals are the coin of the NHL realm. We sometimes forget that because Pacioretty is a streaky scorer. And we fall in love with the perpetual motion machine that is Brendan Gallagher. I understand that. We all love Gallagher. But you have to score goals. And Pacioretty, this year accepted, was a 30-goal guy all the time. So I will miss Max Pacioretty.
With Michael Farber every Monday, a little after 6 on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, 25 years ago today.
The urine sample of Ben Johnson, Canada. Athletics, 100 meter. Collected on Saturday, 24 September 1988. Was found to contain the metabolites of a banned substance, namely stanozolol. It's an anabolic steroid. The IOC Medical Commission discussed all arguments presented by the Canadian delegation, especially the statement that the substance in question might have been administered after the competition by a third party. The steroid profile, however, is not consistent with such a claim. The IOC Medical Commission recommends the following sanction: disqualification of this competitor from the games of the 24th Olympiad in Seoul. The decision remains independent of any sanction which the International Federation concerned may wish to apply in accordance with its own regulations.
That's the IWA.
Of course, the gold medal has been withdrawn by the IOC.
And on this day in 93, he was banned for life as he tried to appeal. And were you in the room that day?
Yeah, I was in Seoul. I was watching the race. I can tell you a long and involved story. But yeah, I filed 800 words before the race, or what was known as B copy back in those days, and I topped it with another 800 words in about 20 minutes, wrote 1,600 words on 9.79. And how many numbers do we still remember in track and field? And that's why I've been thinking about Roger Bannister, who passed away this week.
Oh, the four-minute mile.
Yeah, I mean, that was magic. Did it in May of 54 and ran 3:58.4 at what was then called the Empire Games in Vancouver. And you know, baseball's a number sport. Hockey, some of the numbers resonate, but not as much. But track and field resonates still, and 9.79 is the number that will be burned in my head. Actually, Ben Johnson ended up making a comeback. I was still at the Gazette, and he was running indoors in Hamilton. And I remember going to see him run there, and that would have been in the early 90s. So
this is the day he was. He failed the test a second time. Is what happened. That's the actual anniversary.
Yeah, and that would have been the winter, probably 93. So.
And isn't he helping a lot of players out in terms of their?
Well, he worked with P.K. Subban.
That's I'm trying to think of the film clip that I saw.
Yeah. He worked with Subban. At some point, he was training over in the Middle East. He was training Gaddafi's son, a soccer player, trying to make him quicker. Yeah, Ben was an interesting guy. And the real interesting guy was Charlie Francis, who in one of our talks said, you know, this goes back, steroids, to at least 72 when he first encountered. He was sprinting for Canada then. He said probably 68 he first saw it.
Yeah.
Surface. So Ben Johnson, we lost our virginity as a nation that day in Seoul. It was Saturday in Seoul. It was Friday night at 11:35 in Montreal.
It's the second time that term has come up on this very day in this studio, but you have a much more poetic way of putting it. Thanks as always, Michael. We'll talk to you in a week.
All right, thanks.
Michael Farber.
Concerts, festivals, sport events, wherever you want to go, get the best e-tickets at etickets.ca. See the biggest bands, artists, and teams at the lowest price. Authenticity, secure payment, and delivery guaranteed. Tickets printed at home. Go to etickets.ca.
When I first moved to Hochelaga, Maisonneuve, I didn't speak any French. The moment I decided that, you know, I really need to speak more French was when I realized...